and it's a new Red Leaf Retrocast anime podcast episode. I'm JD Hickey. It's just you and me today.
It is.
Tori's missing his own pick.
This I may need too much. He's dying.
It's okay. It happens to... Wait. He ate too much, or did he pilot a robot? Was he coerced into
doing that? I think he's still alive.
That?
I think he's still alive, so I'll guess he just ate too much.
Okay. All right.
No one's checked in on him. As far as I understand, he's still alive.
So today we are doing Bokurano. It was Tori's pick. I think it was just as simple as it's been on his plan to watch list for ages and ages, and he wanted to see it. And it's kind of in that like Evangelion weird Razafon universe of mecha and people going in these things against their, I guess, will at first. Is that a fair way to put it?
I don't know. I think it's the opposite. At the beginning, it is they were willing to go, but then they, you know, they realize, oh shit, we got duped.
Well, that's the inevitability of it all, right? Everyone's duped or they're forced or something, and then by the end of it, they're just like, I gotta be in it. I need to do this for, you know, world or peace and
the
friendship,
humanity.
Or, you know, whatever reason.
Yeah, kind of. I guess so, you can put it that way.
Well, in other words, or in other news, did some anime catch up in the meantime.
Oh.
I fully caught up on Undead Murder Farce from this season. And I gotta tell you, if Tori didn't recommend it to me or recommend to kind of look into that and describe it, then maybe I would have never found out that this is probably my favorite show of the season. It has Arsène Lupin in it, along with Sherlock Holmes. So you got detective, you got fight, you got monsters. It's kind of right up my alley. And as we've discussed many times on this podcast, you put Lupin in there of any character of kind, I think it's going to get some bonus points right away.
You should not say that.
No, shouldn't?
No.
Why?
No.
Why? Is there something out there I'm not familiar with?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to, if you say that again, I'm just going to put it to review. And you have to watch it.
What? Did you read the manga for Undead Murder Farce?
No. You said anything that has Lupin in it, you're going to get bonus points over here. There are some shows with Lupins that I don't think you want to know about.
Oh, now you got to tell me. What is it?
I'm pretty sure Dante Milky Holmes has Lupin. Also, Scarlet Ammo. Aria the Scarlet Ammo.
Has Lupin.
It has.
Oh, I have no memory of that.
Because, like, they are actually...
Odds are.
Descendants.
It will get bonus points. The odds are high. Or negative points. Who knows?
Like, it's some random plot point that reminds that Caesar's anime. They remember that? The one that people are descendants of serial killers.
Oh,
it's kind of this that like Aria the Scarlet Ammo has this weird plot point that is like, oh yeah, I know, but Aria is actually the descendant of Sherlock Holmes or something, and one of the villain girls is the descendant of Lupin. Just absolutely random plot point that is talked like once.
Okay, well, I stand corrected, and therefore I'm gonna hit this. Yeah, Discord has a soundboard option now. That I'm sure nobody will spam that to
in any way.
No, that will never happen.
Yeah, no. To just while everyone is having such a deep and profound explanation, especially the ones who lost this podcast recording and don't know about the soundboard, and they are passionately explaining why they like an anime, and suddenly you hear just a. on the background.
Oh man, I can't. Okay. Oh man, I can't believe these kids have to pilot this robot, and we get to learn about their inner struggles in life and with their family situation and they end up wanting to just fight for what they believe in. Oh, man. No. Nobody will ever spam the duck or sad horn button or anything like that. I actually went through there and added a bunch already because I have a lot of these made. And if you're not familiar with how we record, I just like play audio and then everyone just kind of sits quiet for a few seconds or so. So Hickey and Tori and everyone never heard
Jaden
these things before.
Something again. Not heard it. I listened to the podcast for that time we were talking about.
Yeah.
Especially ones that don't record.
Oh, well. Yeah. So here we are. We're doing the anime Boku Rano today. It's about robots. It's about piling them against your will at first or being duped into doing it. That'll be later. But I want to get back to Undead Murder Farce. Okay. Undead Murder Farce. I mentioned it was my favorite of the season. It's by a considerable margin, too. Once the spring season ended and I finished Ancient Magus Bride and all those, did a whole review a few episodes ago on it. I believe it was... No, I don't think we ever did spring reviews, now that I think about it. I know we did spring impressions and summer preview, along with the moving bar, on the hentai episode, by the way, that you weren't here for, Keith.
No, I was. Was I?
No.
No, I wasn't.
It was me and Tori talking about tentacle sex.
Fuck, dude. Dude, that anime is great.
Could always do the sequel. There's like three of them.
Yeah. That was an enjoyable anime to watch.
So those that don't know, I ended up telling... I ended up telling the story about how I first discovered La Blue Girl and everything on there. It was through like torrent sites back in the early 2000s, just trying to watch whatever you can. It's like, what's this La Blue Girl anime? Oh. Mom, don't come in here! That kind of thing.
Y'all know, I went to the wrong side of the internet.
That's what you did.
Hopefully this will not have lifelong changes in my habits.
Oh, no. It's like, I didn't realize I like these kinds of things. Uh-oh. That kind of situation.
God, oh, fuck no.
Not to a perverb
like,
sense
exists?
Like that.
And then, like, from there, just like, if that exists, this show about a really big boobed woman in skimpy clothes is fine.
So let's go back to the spring 2023 season then, because my point I wanted to make on Undead Murder Farce is I like the action, I like the characters, the our main cast is very interesting and fun. No, I definitely reviewed a lot of these because I talked about Heavenly Disillusion and the indie there. I think I talked about Mashlao. It was kind of like a waste of time, but Oishi no Ko was pretty fucking cool. I did really enjoy
it. Yeah, Oishi no Ko is cool. There's a second season already planned.
Oh, yeah?
Second core, second season, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Yeah,
come
I'm pretty sure
it,
it
I don't
it
think
is.
I ever finished like the last like episode. I think I just forgot about it. I thought I finished it, and then I realized, oh, I didn't.
Hold on.
Maybe I did. I definitely finished this. I just haven't marked it on my anime list. I did it on Annie list. Yeah, I forget what episode we did the reviews, but definitely did that. The big news right now going around the internet the past couple weeks is the point in One Piece that they've gotten to. If you're familiar with that, Hickey, at all?
Which one? The anime or the manga?
No, the anime. Got to the Luffy fight with Kaido, the dragon dude, and they essentially did like the big Looney Tunes transformation and fight, which got a hell of a lot of praise from the fan base, as far as I can tell. It looks so wacky, but it's very fun if you're into that.
Well, I mean, if the idea is to be wacky, then you're going to get praised.
The idea was absolutely to be wacky.
I got absolutely spoiled on that, but I don't really care because I don't watch One Piece. But it's good to keep up with that, right?
Well, yeah, it's one of the most popular things out there. So,
but like, it's not like the Naruto fights, which are absolutely serious, but end up looking goofy because of the animation.
Right? Yeah, I know exactly what you mean on that sense. Yeah,
but like, it is to be goofy, so people will praise it. The goofier it is.
Yeah, a big part of the fight is looking like it's straight out of 1960s Looney Tunes, with the animation and popping eyeballs and that, like, all of that stuff going on. Very funny.
Yeah, wacky Luffy.
Luffy's. I think that live action adaptation on
absolutely
Netflix is coming
Luffy.
Out soon.
Lunatic Looney Tunes Luffy.
Yeah.
Literally.
Okay.
Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
But anime. Yeah, I saw that. I saw a lot of, I don't know, I just saw people randomly comparing it to the Super Saiyans.
Really?
I was like, I get it. Nah, it's just people trying to bait into fights. You know how it is.
I didn't really get that feeling at all. Watching it.
I don't, again, I just like people baiting each other to fight. Nowadays, it's always the fucking...
It does always get to those points.
The Dragon Ball offense. It's always Dragon Ball. It's like,
Well, you get that kind of reaction fandom in wrestling and video games as well. Xbox, PlayStation, WWE, AEW kind of thing. Joshi fans to various promotions. Fandoms are wacky that way. You're always trying to bait. You're always trying to put down the competition of your favorite or perceived competition. In this case, I guess it's Dragon Ball fans against One Piece fans, which, yeah. I don't know. I mean, One Piece has been at the top for so long, at least manga-wise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have special music for just manga chapters. They have music videos for, like, what?
Are you talking about One Piece fans?
Yeah. No. One Piece, the manga, has... They commission original songs and MVs for chapters. Like, if there's a chapter that they think it's important, like the beginning of an arc.
Okay, yep.
They will make an original song about the arc and commission an MV from an actual musician.
Well, hey, if it's that popular and you got the money, I don't see why you wouldn't do something like that. It's kind of cool.
Like, when Gears 5 was... revealed in the manga, mm-hmm. there is a Gears 5 music video, original song for the Gears 5. The Future Island, now it has an actual song written, and there's an MV. There's like two MVs actually. There's the promotional MV and there's the actual song MV. I was like, that is absolutely, like, for a random, it's not a random chapter, but it's insane that they can do it for just a random, you know, chapter of a manga.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the opening of an anime. It's the first chapter of a new arc, and they have a opening for it. And that's a lot of money. Like, you need a lot of money if you're gonna do it for those reasons. It's something no one does, as far as I understand. Some light novels have promotional videos with narrating like words,
right?
Like and excerpts of the books, but commissioning something that is, you know, that kind of this luxury. Because it's not necessary.
No, it's absolutely not necessary, but it's still...
Yeah, it's just a luxury of, hey, I can get this top Japanese singer to sing about a chapter of my fucking manga is such a flex.
It's definitely a flex there for sure. I mean, I'm a big One Piece fan. I've been watching it for shit. I first started watching it in 2005 in Germany, and I probably told this story on the podcast multiple times, but I'll tell it again anyways, because there might be new people there or people I forget. When I moved to Germany in high school, one of the ways I learned German was watching a lot of German dubs of like Inuyasha, and One Piece was one of them. There was also SpongeBob and Jimmy Neutron because of the simplicity of the language that they use. But I ended up watching from the beginning all the way to the through the Sky Island arc in 2005 to 2006 is what I watched. And they would kind of loop that stuff around. And yeah, when I came back to America eventually, I was like, oh man, the Japanese dub and the English dub are weird to me. But yeah, I've been watching this fucking show for almost 20 years. 20 years I've been watching the show. It's crazy. It's crazy to think about. And that's not even when it started. I was like 6 years late.
Yeah. Started in 1999. It's been going for a decade. Well, the anime. The manga is 1998?
Yeah, they started it almost right away after the manga became an immediate hit.
Just take a look.
Look at us. We're talking about One Piece. I actually have something listed here where on our docket, I believe I made a note that, 2024 is the One Piece 25th anniversary. So I think we got to...
It started in 1997.
So, yeah.
It has a Brazilian dub. I remember the Brazilian dub.
Right. So I think in 2024, we got to put something down for One Piece in some capacity. I think
ooh,
that's needed.
Watch One Piece.
I'm not saying we because I think Tori has mentioned he's tried like the first 30 episodes twice or something. I think we can just kind of blow over that and just get to an arc of some kind that people actually want to listen to. Because the beginning, like first X amount of episodes is kind of not fantastic.
It gets better after 160.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry, guys. It gets. Yeah, that's like the Naruto and all these things. Oh, don't worry. It gets better after episode 148. Like, fuck off.
You gotta be like Bleach, dude. You just disappear for like 7 years and come back like, no, this is the last arc. It is the best arc because the guy said he would only do it if he was able to do whatever the fuck he wanted. One dies, there's a bunch of blood, and it's cool as hell. Now we are animating it. It's like, okay, this is the best arc.
Oh yeah, the newest Bleach season is the best I've seen from the show. And we did a lot of Bleach. How many episodes did we do? Did we do 100? Did we get to that point, or did we only do like 60?
We end up before the Hueco Mundo arc.
We definitely
did not. The betrayal. We got to the betrayal, I think.
I think we did. Let's see. The sneak entry arc. No. You know what? We stopped when it was revealed that Aizen was the bad guy. That's where we stopped. So we only did. We only did 63 episodes.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, man.
Maybe we should continue that.
Best.
If we can do over 100 episodes of Legends of the Galactic Heroes, I think we can muster.
But
can we? If we can do City Hunter is the one we've done the most on this podcast.
True.
How many episodes did that come out to? Like 180? 200? Did we do 200 episodes of City Hunter?
It's not 200 episodes. It cannot be 200 episodes. Can it?
It's definitely over 100. Because City Hunter 1 is 50, right?
But then it's just like 13 and it gets lower and lower.
Right, hold on.
As time goes on.
As the number one City Hunter podcast in existence, we need to know this.
So far, because there's those other guys.
No. They don't count. They're not as good as us. Like, they're number two.
It's 51, 63.
51, 63. And then City Hunter 3 is how much?
13.
Okay.
13 episodes.
And then we did City Hunter 91.
Yeah, 13.
Which is another 13.
Yeah.
And then are we counting Angel Heart or
Angel Heart
or Cat's Eye?
No. What?
Angel Heart had City Hunter in it. It's part of canon.
But it's no, it's not.
Sure, it is. Come on.
No, it's not. No. That's not canon, dude.
I'm counting it because we did it on the pretense that it was more City Hunter. So that's 25. If we don't count Cat's Eye, even though it's in the same universe, that's 100.
He doesn't even appear. So.
That's 165 episodes we've done of City Hunter, easily the most we've done. 100 episodes.
With an asterisk in the end. Gotta put the asterisk because you counting Angel Heart. So.
But even if you take out Angel Heart, it's still the most. Legend of Galactic Heroes was 110. Touch was 101. Slam Dunk was 101. Bleach, we've done 63. Inuyasha, we only did 27 episodes.
Shit. I mean, we might continue Bleach because Bleach is fun to watch.
Bleach is fun as shit. I love that thing.
It is.
Yeah.
I love the jump attacks. I absolutely I jump destroy attacks Bleach. Cuts. Yeah. Because I told my friend he's not watching it because he wanted to watch the new season.
Okay.
But he preferred to go back and watch all the canon. I was like, oh man, you're going to have a blast. Ichigo has one attack with jump attack. I was like, no, he doesn't. 20 episodes later, I was like, I fucking hate you, dude. You just ruined Bleach for me.
Oh my
and
god.
Like, and he's like, I'm 100 and something episodes in, and the only thing that happens are jump attacks. I was like, yeah, I know.
Well, not wrong. Okay. So I have a drop here. I think it's time we start talking about this anime we're about to cover. But I have a question. Are you familiar with the show that's coming out next season called The Apothecary Diaries?
The Apothecary Diaries? What is the Japanese name of that?
I was asked by multiple people. I'm not sure. I was asked by multiple people if I knew anything about it, and I do not. So I thought I'd come on the podcast and ask you guys, a.k.a. you, Hickey. It's a light novel, like mystery drama thing. Doesn't ring a bell?
Let me just... Not, but usually things by their Japanese name.
Hmm.
So if you speak okay. English to me, I won't understand.
Mm. Okay.
The Apothecary Diaries, Volume 5. Natsu Hyoga.
If you speak English to
no,
me, I won't understand.
I don't
understand.
Know anything about this. Kusuriya no Hitorigoto.
Yeah, I just got it too. Yeah, Kusuriya no Hitorigoto.
Let's see, fall 2023. Oh, there we go.
Nothing.
Nope, nothing.
Okay. Well, sorry, can't be of help to you guys that asked. All right.
Let me see who wrote it. Because then
maybe that would give me some insight. Okay. All right, we'll hold off for a second then. I did randomly get a hate email over Sailor Moon over the last, let's see, what was that?
Just randomly?
Yeah, just last week. I was like, what the fuck? Just randomly pop up. It's so funny how that's just the one thing that will always stay with us.
Because
there was a period where we got hit with emails week after week, and then it's just totally gone. But every once in a while, there's a comment on YouTube, or because we post all these things on YouTube, things just kind of pop up every now and again. All right, Hickey, as you look for that, I am going to play the drop, and we'll get into this anime. Alrighty, that was a very famous Evangelion. Little music drop there. So here we go. Yeah,
okay.
Oh, you got what you need?
I see. Kind of. It's a little bit hard to know anything.
Mm-hmm.
The story writer for it, he's not new.
Okay.
But he comes and goes, or she comes and goes, right?
Okay, like, so it's written by...
Started in 2013, then the first one of this Apothecary Diaries is 2014 with drama and mystery. But then, like, he goes away, and they go away, then come back in 2016, 2017, go away, and then now resurface again in 2021 to 2023. So very, it's quite an irregular very irregular writing. Doesn't have a overreaching theme. They go to shoujo, to seinen, to mystery, to drama, so it's mostly them being contracted to write a story for an artist. Like, the artist is the main focus, is not so much the story. He's just there to make a story for the artist or the company that is hiring them. Might be good, might be bad. Who knows? It's definitely the best one he's been brought to. So hopefully it's just like his or her story, and not someone that they would hire to just fill in for the artist.
Okay. All right.
Because, yeah.
So let's talk about this show, Bokurano. Okay, Bokurano.
Bokurano Hours.
It is, let's see, came out in the spring of 2007, so just qualifies. It's by Studio Gonzo, which fuck, explains a lot. That's immediate. It's a mecha psychological survival type show. 24 episodes long, so you're in it for the long haul. And the summary is as follows, or the synopsis, not the summary. During a summer camp, 15 children, 8 males, 7 females. What is going on my phone? Jesus Christ. I gotta turn that shit off. Vibrate. There we go. 15 children, all in like what? 7th grade? I think it was 7th grade. Find a cave by the sea. Deep within the cave, they find a computer system, bunch of computers, equipment, and a man called Cocopelli, or at least that's what he tells him. Claims to be a video game programmer, and he wants these kids to try out a game in which a large robot has to defend the Earth against 15 alien invasions. Okay. He goes, sign the contract to be in the game. It's super serious, guys. Trust me, bro. All but one of these kids sign. It's the youngest of the group, the only one that wasn't in seventh grade. And barely a moment later, they've all passed out. They wake up and they realize Cocopelli is going to do the first fight of the 15, because only 14 of them signed. And as we go through each and every episode, it's very much episodic mech battle extraordinaire with a secret plot that must be revealed, along with your kooky, crazy mascot character straight out of Madoka Magica to make a... God, I don't even think that's a modern reference anymore, is it? When did Madoka Magica come out?
Shit. 2014?
13? Ugh.
Maguka.
Oh my god, did it came out? Did it come out in 2011?
When does Magia record?
Oh my god, it did come out in 2011.
Where's the Magia record?
The game came out in 2013.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, holy shit. Madoka Magica is 12 years old.
Yeah, I don't think that's a very... It fell off, right? Those kind of things, like Dark Magical Girl.
Dark Magical Girl, Dark Mascot, Evil Plot Behind It kind of situation. We yeah, a lot of them fell off.
Yeah. We have a lot of isekai. We have no way on the dumb isekai.
Oh my god. We're still on the isekai train. Fuck.
No, now we're in the dumb isekai train.
Yeah.
It's different.
Oh, it's it's different. We got smartphones and slimes and...
and vending machines.
A fucking vending machine. Why does Crunchyroll keep a... Okay, here's the thing. Crunchyroll constantly says, you might like this because you watch this. And I see this fucking vending machine on the front cover, and I'm like, who is this for?
A very Japanese person, I guess.
Trying to not be racist. Who looks at a vending machine and goes, I'm inspired. Got it.
I mean, if I had a vending machine, well, more than one vending machine in every single block of my city, I guess I would look at vending machines and be inspired by it. I don't.
Well, I remember in the 90s...
What I have in every single block is fucking violence.
Well...
That's why I like Black Lagoon. It reminds me of home.
Well, okay. Oh, man. Okay. So,
I don't know.
In the last episode, we did Honey and Clover, and it was cut short due to an emergency circumstance. I apologize. Watching Boku Ranu, I felt like I watched the mech version with teenagers of Honey and Clover.
Preteens.
Preteens, yeah.
Kind of.
In a weird way, I felt like I was watching something very similar.
Yeah. I remember people talking about Boku Ranu a lot.
Really? Because I've never heard of the show until Tori brought it up for podcast.
Well, I mean,
review.
You need... My favorite anime is Ergo Proxy. So, you know, it's kind of in the sphere of influence.
How come we haven't reviewed that yet?
Because we have a unspoken rule. We don't reveal our favorite shows.
I mean, we've reviewed my favorite shows.
Oh, that because you don't know about the
rule. Oh, okay.
It's
yeah, I guess you're right. Because Tori never wants to do Aria. You never want to do Ergo Proxy. Yeah.
No, I know Ergo Proxy is a dog shit show. We can do Michiko and Hachin.
Well, if it's a dog shit show and it's your favorite, then we can shit on your favorite. Isn't that fun?
No, because I have another dog shit one that I want you to shit on because it's fun to shit on it. Not Ergo Proxy, it's close to my heart.
I've never seen it, so I'm like dying to watch that show.
Oh, you can. I mean, we can put it on to review. It's not a problem.
Okay.
I don't mind rewatching it.
Good. Because we've done a lot of my favorites over the years.
But we're gonna put the fucking... Never mind. So I read a lot. It would come out a lot. Like, people would talk about it from time to time. But, you know, being kind of dev game...
Kinda.
But not, because we didn't hit the death game trend in 2007. It was like 2014, 2015. We would have like those dumb shows about death games. But then it kind of died out before even 2020s, and no one talked about this show. So like, that's why it's probably on Tori's list, because it was basically when he was starting to watch anime, people were talking about it, and knowing his personality and what he likes, it's like this is kind of the same sphere as me. Will be, yeah, no, you need to watch the show because the show is cool. I never watched it because I kind of simply forgot about it. I had other things I felt like watching than this one. It wasn't very appealing to me. Being the big mecha, the characters are not very appealing looking. So I never watched it. But I remember people talking about it, people recommending it. You know, it's like, oh, it's a good show, and you're gonna watch it, you're gonna enjoy it. And now that I've watched it, I can definitely say those guys are just wrong. But yeah, like up to it hold a niche, but it's still a popularity for 10 years after its release. But it was kind of like getting carried within the recommendation of other shows in the same kind of genre and the same kind of vibe, atmosphere. But then when we reach like 2017, we start seeing the isekais, the dumb isekais, the trapped in video games. So you go from, hey, the show from 2007 about kids stuck in a mecha and they need to fight, and after the fight they die, worth Japan for something like Sword Art Online, which is a death game that you're stuck in a video game and there's stakes, and then why not,
right?
And it's way edgier, it has better action, so you kind of see like that change.
There was certainly a time period where you
Sword Art Online.
You
have new death games, right? You have ReZero. ReZero is kind of old as well. It's 2000 something. 2017, 2018, the light novel starts. So like, you don't need Boku no Hero anymore because you have more shocking death games. The society changes. You have more blood in anime, in normal anime. So
I would say, okay, I'd phrase it
of the eyes of the public.
I'd definitely phrase it differently. I would put it as it's more about like a shock value rather than what we've seen from Boku no Hero and in the past. You can throw Evangelion in there among other shows, especially when mechs. You can go back to the 80s. With like the Toyama era and all that, where everything's the plot is very much serious about a group and people kind of being picked off one by one, or you leave it all at the end and there's a big ending sequence of all the things you fought for over the series is now coming to a conclusion, while in the more quote-unquote modern sense, at least past, We'll put Boku no Hero 2007 as kind of our line past this, where it's more about like a singular character rather than the entirety. There's very much more a serious value. These kinds of shows like Boku no Hero attempts to put a more complete aspect on things, and
I guess it become too outdated. The atmosphere.
Yes, things must evolve. The face, change with the audience.
The shock value is not that strong in Boku no Hero.
No, it's not.
Because also the characters are super mild and they are whispering a lot of times, so it doesn't like there's not a lot of emotion. But if you go with Evangelion aged really well. In my opinion, it's still kind of, it's not the best anymore, but it aged very well. Boku no Hero did not. no. aged very well.
Well, also, we, like, also, there's a difference
between... If you go to spring 2017, for example, you have Shingeki no Kyojin's second season, for example. It's a completely different genre, of course, but you have a main character, but you still have a bunch of characters. You have a lot of intrigue. It's kind of the similar vibe, but it's way more vibrant. It's way more violent. You can understand, like, the same atmosphere. You need to fight, or your whole world will be annihilated. You still have traitors. You don't understand what's going on. You have a group of characters that is around that 10, 12. Everyone dies at some point.
Sure, like, yeah. I buy into that. I buy into that completely. That's a great comp, I think.
Right?
I think a big difference
on the other
is...
side, you have Boku no Hero Academia second season. It's also kind of... It's overreaching. It's overreaching, but it's more about, in the scenario, when you get to 2017, there is no reason to... People are still stuck to the classics, and like real classics from the 80s and 90s. There is no reason to recommend, like, oh, you liked this show, you're going to watch Ergo Proxy, you're going to watch Evangelion, but there's not a lot of reason to talk too much about Boku no Hero anymore, because you have more the anime with kind of similar atmospheres that might suit the person watching it better.
Well,
it's kind of the same thing as Witch Hunter Robin. It is a bad show, but it still didn't age well. At some point, you can grab a show and say, look, this is a better version of that.
Yes. I do agree with a lot of what you said. I think
Made in Abyss came out in summer 2017.
Well, you know? The first season was, the first few seasons were good at least. Before they went,
yeah,
into,
but
like,
again, it's why, but like you see, like people stop talking about it around 2017 up to 2020, and you don't hear anything anymore about Boku no Hero. It's kind of a little bit hard to have that recommendation.
Well, yes, you're right. When things in the past are better and have aged better, and we see this with a lot of shows from like 2000 to 2009 in particular, especially by like. Not Madhouse standards, but Studio Gonzo is a great example of just poor animation, poor character design, kind of a slower story. Everything was either better before, or not everything. Obviously, you still have like the Death Notes and the like of the time. But in terms of, yeah, exactly what you said, even from a vibe perspective, a similar story, crux perspective, that, yeah, a lot of shows after this were better. Than what this show was going for. So let's get into the show itself here, where, first of all, the CG in the show is, like, janky and awful.
I think it's okay, honestly.
I think it gets worse as the series goes on, personally.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I thought it was fine. I cannot... Yeah, 2017, Osama Game, the animation, we start getting the shitty...
No. Osama Game.
Yeah, then like 2017, we go to a complete different type of edgy stuff.
Right, yeah.
But it's still, Boku no Hero hold 10 years of being mentioned as an anime you should watch. That is something you should take into account. It's not like it died two seasons ago.
I can't really speak on that because I wasn't recommended this, and I'm a big like mech anime fan. Maybe I was just not in the right circles.
Probably because you're more Gundam, right? Gundam.
Yeah, I like a lot of Gundam and those kind of things. And this is way. Well, it's probably the same reason why I've never seen things like Ergo Proxy prior, or Razafon. Right.
Yeah. Because it's not the vibe a Gundam watcher is looking for.
I mean, but I've seen things like A Day On, and well, I guess that goes back to your 80s statement for sure. Okay. Anyways. So these kids get into coped into going into this essentially death game. We'll call it that. The there's this, like, what would you call this? Like a marmot creature? What's this mascot animal thing?
A bear?
Is it?
A rat?
A rat? A mouse?
Might be.
All right,
something
we'll go
that resembles a little mouse, I guess.
Yeah, we'll go with mouse.
Because of the rounder.
Yeah, okay, so there's this mouse creature that pops up in, like, episode 4 or something. What happens is these kids are chosen to be a pilot of this mech one by one, okay? And each and every episode kind of, or every two episodes, goes along the same episodic plot line of the next kid is chosen to be the pilot. We don't know why they're chosen. That's revealed later. At least in the order. They pilot this mech to fight another quote-unquote invading mech to do battle on Earth. And it's it's hinted immediately in this series. Like, the second this mouse character comes, it goes, well, it's your Earth, but it's also not. You're like, oh, okay, all right. So we're dealing with alternate universes, essentially. And I don't think we get the true answer, the true, like, reveal answer to that until, what, like, episode 18 or something, around there?
Of what?
Of their trying to battle to for their universe to exist.
Oh, no, it's... When is it?
Is it way earlier than that?
Yeah, it's way... I think it's way earlier. It's not 18.
Okay. Well,
it's when they go to the away match and they finish like, okay, let's see the universe being wiped out.
Oh, yeah, and they see the stars kind of flickering in the back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, what was that, like 13, 14? Whichever. So, the kids are chosen one by one, and the caveat or hook is once you fight, you're dead, because to pilot the mech, it uses your life force. And you go, well, that kind of sucks. Things happen within the episodes for until they're told, like, that's why. That's, I think it's at the end of episode 5 that happens and is revealed. And now they have to fight for, they're kind of stuck in this game, and now they're afraid of being chosen. Well, then later it's revealed, okay, they're fighting for their universe to not be destroyed, because the mouse then goes, okay, well, I don't know, what is the mouse, like the guardian of the universe, like timelines and stuff?
He's just a branch of some
weird
humans in a distant universe. They're just, I don't know, they just decided, you know, we need to do some natural selection of universes, so we're just going to put the universes to fight.
Okay, I must have missed that part. That's kind of key. I thought it was created.
You're probably not paying attention anymore.
Probably.
It's like one of the guys says, I saw some people in white garbs, and you see like the guy sitting down with the kind of brownish skin.
I saw that, but smiling. I thought that was like a plot.
Those are the masterminds.
So they don't have to fight and other people fight for them.
No, they are the masterminds.
Ah, okay. I definitely missed that.
They're like the superhumans, the ones who evolved much, and they decided, you know what?
Gotcha.
The other universes must fight for natural selection, and whoever loses, we're just gonna destroy the universe.
Okay, that's kind of that's a very key thing I missed, because my understanding was this mouse thing was created in order to keep a balance in the universe. Otherwise,
he wasn't. No,
was
it's
like
not a Thanos kind of
collapse
thing.
Kind of deal. No.
It's not a Thanos kind of thing. Mm. He was one of the pilots of another universe together with Yoko.
Okay, I knew that part.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's basically that. He's just a wrench for those guys, and he goes around selecting people, new universes to pass the natural selection.
Okay. Well, the mouse is a dick. I wanted to put that out there. The mouse is constantly going into their lives and trying to egg on their problems. It's like, oh, you don't get along with your mother? She's a prostitute? I think you should go to where she works. Really tell her how you feel. That kind of shit. Always getting involved in all these kids, but the story is, oh, you meet, you we're getting to know this one character, over the course of an episode or two, as they're chosen to be the next pilot, and you learn what their family life is like, you learn their struggles through adolescence, and what their biggest issue is, and each kid is unique to another in what crazy messed up situation they're in. One is having like sex with a teacher, one has a prostitute for a mom, one's parents are a corrupt politician, another's a corrupt businessman or doesn't care about people, and the kids' personalities reflect essentially how their lifestyle and their how they were raised. And over the course of the season, the kids develop one after another. It's like a sense of maturing and responsibility. And there's a few lines in here. I thought the written dialogue, much like Honey and Clover, there's a lot of like deep, best they can. Forgive me if I use it this way, but deep analytical sense of the word in singular sentences that have a lot of meaning to them, but maybe in the context of the show and what they do before and after, it's kind of goofy comes across. But I believe like there's one line nearing the end of the series where there's this like random military dude, and he just goes, "Man, these kids want to protect the Earth, and they got to figure it out more than us adults have." Or they're, even though they have childlike personalities, they're more adult than the rest of us because, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of lines like that scattered throughout the show for the sense of worth, yeah, responsibility, maturing, immaturing. Those things stuck out to me. And Honey and Clover was very much a lot like that. What is truly life if you can't figure out what you're happy with, and those phrases.
I'm going on a journey across Japan in a bike.
Yeah, and I'm going to get a sick golf tan and come back. And
between this and Honey and Clover is that Boku no Hana suffers from something a lot of shows in this time period suffered.
Okay.
Which is the Battle Royale syndrome. The Battle Royale is like, well, they're fighting to death, and that's not the problem. Battle Royale is a book about a Battle Royale. It is banned in many places because it resolves about middle schoolers fighting. So the problem with that is that a middle schooler is a middle schooler. Middle schooler is not an adult.
Right.
It is extremely hard to write middle schoolers, because the people writing them are not middle schoolers. Right. And
they're not preteens, adolescents going through puberty and that shit.
Yeah, you cannot just go to a middle school and ask them to interview the middle schoolers. It's kind of weird. And the middle schoolers are probably not going to talk to you. So it gets to this problem where you're trying to emulate middle schoolers, but you don't know how a middle schooler behaves.
Oh, I can't remember, but you just jogged my memory. There's a few mangakas out there, Hickey, that I've read interviews about. It's like, how did you get this like preteen character down so well? And they just base it off their own child.
Yeah, it's usually like that, and those are like the kind of the best. But you,
right?
That's why you end up like, oh, this guy's just self-inserting themselves into the story. It's like, no, they're just observing the kids. The kids are just a clone of themselves.
Right. Yeah.
So like, it gets to this problem where a lot of these kids have more baggage than a fucking war veteran. And it's like,
dude, no kidding.
It's like, some I understand. Right, if it's family issues, like the fat guy who didn't want to fight, and he's like the best fighter.
Yeah, of course.
He's more like his.
That
like
was that was Daichi, right?
Like my father left. Yeah.
Was that Daichi, the one that was balding at 12 years old?
No. It's Yosuke.
Yosuke. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's Yosuke. Yeah. All right.
He's like, look, even the
oh,
balding
you're right.
One,
you're right. Yeah.
It's like my father left us and my mother lost her job, and then you have like all that sequence with her with his
right,
mother
yeah,
like,
yeah,
trying
was,
to kill herself
yeah
and it. he's still holding together because he doesn't really know what to do. That is a good character, but it's not about him. It's more like his part is very simplistic. He doesn't fight the first fight, and then the robot commits suicide, right? But others, like the the Kaku, the second pilot, that just he just tries to rape a girl. It's like, dude,
fucking nuts.
You don't even have any hormones to get like for your dick hard yet, my man. It's like, it's not a, this is not how a middle schooler would act. But a lot of shows in the 2000s have that problem. It got corrected in the 2010s.
Yeah, because you almost feel like the show would have been better if the characters were like in their 20s and 30s, where it's like more believable that they have this much baggage.
Yeah.
Could you imagine a character with like heavy drug problems? And he has to go fight and save her. He's like snorting a line of cocaine before he goes out from the mech and he's going nuts.
Yeah, even in high school, it's like the kid is in middle school and she's like, she's 14, but she's pregnant of the teacher's. Like, that's a little bit of a reach.
I mean, not to say that's never happened throughout history. I mean, obviously.
No, it did, but like, it's more believable if it's high school.
Yeah,
it'd
be more believable if it was, older.
High school or like a little bit older.
Yeah. Like, fuck.
But then, like in 2010s, a lot of animes in 2010s, the main characters are older. They're in high school, or they dropped out of high school, right. or they dropped out of college, which makes things more believable. Funnily enough, nowadays you barely see 2014-year-olds being main characters, unless it's shonen, and by now
that's true.
Usually, it starts in high school.
So as I was watching this, I actually got kind of curious to read reviews of this show from as close to 07 as possible. That's one of the more better things about covering shows, at least in this era, as opposed to the 80s, because we can't pretty hard to go back to the 80s and see reviews of like what people thought of shows back then. But in this one, this got like it. I realize it only has a 7.61 on my anime list, but it's definitely just before that time when show got the site got popular. However, when I was going through like old message boards or just random like WordPress type sites, a lot of just glowing reviews of the characters and their sense of depression is very much a thing, and I just have to think that it was just a lot of teenagers watching the show and just being like, man, I relate to them, or some shit.
Yeah, there isn't a lot of all the anime to compare with it, right? Could be also the people who watched it, they're not well versed in character writing or literature in general. So it's like, oh, this is the pinnacle of character writing.
Right? Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, it's just
maybe
just a little edgy guy.
But like, if you ignore the fact that you're like 13, 14 year olds,
right?
It's like, no, it's not. Like, if you watch like the first two episodes, it's simple. If you ever asked yourself back in 2017 that you wanted to watch Boku no Hero, watch the first two episodes. It will tell everything that you need to know about the show and if you want to watch it to the end or not. I will say that it gets better after episode 13.
Yeah, you get a plot. It finally drops the sense of just episodic fighting, for sure.
The less kids it has, the better the plots get.
Yeah.
Because you're not trying to emulate so many middle schoolers
It gets more focused. It gets more to a plot.
You get more adults.
Yes.
You have more adults.
Ironically, yeah.
And so, like, but the first two episodes is just like kids doing dumb shit, and then one dies, and he just falls off the robot.
No one reacts.
Like, no one reacts, and it's only the main guy, and he's like, I didn't push him. He fell off the robot by his own. I didn't do anything. And then he just fucking kicks his sister. For nothing. And no one does shit. And then you cut to episode 3 and everything's okay. It's not like our friend just died. So it's kind of not good and it happens a lot. And you know, they kind of accept their fate really cheaply. there's no wailing. There's no. It's like, oh shit, I'm gonna die. At least, well, except one guy. One guy was like, I'm on
one of goes into that. I found that interesting
and
because
the other's like, we're gonna become mortis and whatnot, and they just go fight, die. And it's there's Kunihiko, who wanted to donate his heart to his friend, you know?
Yes.
That's fine. He's like, dude, I'm gonna die anyways or whatever. I came to terms with it, at least I'm gonna help someone. That is fine, even if you are young. I think someone with 14 years old can make that judgment.
At least when your sense of mortality has already been decided.
And you don't even know what sense of mortality is. You're fucking 13 years old. But then you have like Kanji going, we became martyrs of this world. It's like, dude, shut up. So yeah, watch like the first, I guess like the first four episodes are good.
I put it at five. That was the number, and
or maybe like six, because you have the.
I guess it goes into the explanation a little bit after that, because that's when it.
No,
was
I guess five, because Kako is already kind of absolutely going nuts.
Right.
Yeah, four or five. It's kind of like enough.
Yeah. I thought the ending was very melancholy and just kind of peters out. I was like, okay. I guess they're just like, yep, we saved our universe. And I'm like, okay, I guess. And then it's just like, that's it. Survival of the fittest. You survived.
Probably,
I thought it fell pretty flat, but.
The thing is, like, the story becomes better after episode 13, 14. Not only because you have more adults, and the adults are doing shit. The Tanaka, the military woman.
Yep.
Seki, the military guy. The Yakuza dude, which is cool. He's a cool guy.
You know what? The Mafia guy was probably my favorite character in the show, ironically enough.
Yeah. The Mafia guy, you know, he's doing shit. And the politicians. The scientist, which is the mother of one of the kids. She's also doing some work. Kanji's mother. They appear more. They're doing more stuff. They're trying to collect data, and that thing is interesting. You don't get on the emulated children trying to find a robot and dying,
right?
Kind of thing. So the world expands more, and also it becomes the redemption arc of Ushiro.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where it's like, oh, so like. Find his mother, right?
Yeah.
And then you find his mother, and you start seeing all the connections they're going behind, and how the story actually starts way before with the Yakuza and the military, and how the military woman is actually his mother,
right?
And how she died, and why not? And he goes soul searching. It becomes interesting because of that, but at that point. The main plot of the series, which is the fucking huge robot and kids dying, doesn't matter that much.
No. It just kind of peters out. I'm like, I don't know.
It's like you're going through a road and you hit new asphalt. It's just like,
it's all sticky and changed, you're like, ugh.
Like something, it gets smoother randomly. It's like, what the hell? But then the robot doesn't matter much.
No.
It's like, well, natural selection, whatever the fuck. And then you kind of start zooming out on the story of Koimushi or Dung Beetle, which is the little thing. And Yoko, like, oh, we're not humans from this earth, and why not? This kind of get tossed to the side and becomes more like the rest, the ones that are left, the adults, and Ushiro's coming to terms with his life and going to the last battle. So, like, I don't know, it improved, but it wasn't good for the story, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, and yet here we are, like an hour into this thing, still talking about it.
Yeah, I know. Like
a lot more to break down and say than Honey and Clover, because Honey and Clover, I keep comparing it because we've watched these shows and they gave me similar vibes back to back. Totally different in a lot of aspects as well. Don't get me wrong, but what made Honey and Clover just so not really interesting to dive into and talk about is because it's just college kids going to school and then they're just talking about relationships and while this one was more individualistic from an episode to episode. So you can realistically break down every single character and their story and plight and then move on to the next one, while Honey and Clover just didn't have that, at least from a discussion standpoint. Not to me anyways.
Yeah. And then you have the problem of them being middle schoolers and accepting things way too easy. But then, like, as we were looking at the wiki page, and it says, like, the show is basically original story, that might be the reason why the story changes so much at some point.
Yeah, you were mentioning that the mangaka and the anime guys, like, there was a lot of controversy in how they were doing things, so they just changed it all up.
Yeah, because the director of the show wanted to save the characters.
Right.
But that wasn't, you find a way,
right,
of saving,
that's not the
characters.
That's not the point of the manga or the story in general. So I definitely agree with the mangaka in that sense. I'm on his side.
So yeah, even the mangaka wrote, if
the characters didn't die, then all their fights and plights would be worthless.
It'd
be more about the death around them, because that's something the show was always kind of putting off to the side in your face, where it'd be like, oh, the mountain 10,000 people died this day. You know?
I guess so, but like, I guess I need to read the manga to be sure. The anime always had that sensation of salvation still. Salvation of the soul. So even if the character will die, they still, like, they die in peace. Which kind of also gets in the way of believable kids.
But yeah, well, I mean, yes, but that also only works for the ones that we get to know better and they actually fleshed it out, as opposed to the beginning characters where it's just, oh, they're dropping dead in front of them. What happened? That's why the show gets better when there's less alive children.
Yeah, but if the ones that are not well fleshed out are the ones from the actual manga, and it's the order of pilots is different.
Yeah, the whole show changes.
So, like, they're not fleshed out because the manga doesn't flesh them out. The director doesn't like the manga, gets the characters who are not part of the manga yet, they're not dead on the manga yet, and flesh them out in two episodes, for example. Because the director of Bokurano hates Bokurano manga, and the mangaka
so funny
said, do not watch the anime.
Do not read the manga, don't watch the anime. That's what we get on both sides there.
Yeah. So yeah, like, the director just went, okay, I'm going to save someone, and he saved their souls, I guess.
I mean, they still died. All right. I'm kind of tapped out on Bokurano. I ended up just giving it like a 5 out of 10. And I think a lot of that has to do with, I couldn't really put myself in the time period of watching it. I'm too fixated on what came before and afterwards. And when you brought that up earlier, it really made me realize why I felt this way about the show. I can't say it was hard to watch at all, but I did find myself drifting in and out at a lot of points. Definitely not one of my favorite shows. Probably will reference this in the future, for sure. I think it's good reference material when comparing it to other shows. But other than that, meh.
Probably from the 2000s.
Yeah,
but
right.
Like, we are already in, what, 2008?
Yeah.
When we get to 2009, 2010, we have better shows to use and not Bokurano.
Sure.
And then it's when it starts to wind out the recommendations for Boku no Hero, kind of wind out. Still hold for 10 years. That is important. But yeah, I completely agree with you. I gave it a 6.
Okay,
I think
so
it's
we're
an
in the
absolutely
ballpark
fine
of each
show.
Other.
Yeah. I think it's a fine show. If you watch the first 2 episodes, you can watch just the 2 episodes. You're going to see everything you need to know about how the story progresses and how it's written. I watched the first 2 episodes and said, this is dog shit. You can go on our Discord and see the logs. And I just said that this show is absolute dog shit. Like, because it is. The first 2 episodes are so fucking dumb.
They're disjointed to the rest of the show. It doesn't set up very well. Yeah,
I cannot believe a human wrote this. It feels like it was written by AI.
Oh my god.
There's no emotion.
I didn't think of it that way. That's funny. Yeah.
there's no emotion. There's no reaction. A kid that your friend just died and they don't scream.
Right. They're just blank stared. And he's just like, I didn't push him. I only like elbowed him a little. And they're just like, well, no. Yeah, there's nothing. So.
And then he just punches a little kid. It's like,
he just slaps his sister. I'm like, what the fuck? This isn't real.
Just randomly.
Real reaction. Anyways.
And then, you know, if you go and it's too entertaining, you know that they are going to die. So.
Yeah. Remind me. When did, because I have this final question for you. When did Deno Coil come out?
2006, I think.
So around the same time, or at least the same like 2-year period, right?
It has the same color palette. Yeah, 2007, beginning of.
So it's the same year. No, it's the same season.
Yeah. It is, yes.
Okay, so this actually works out perfectly. If this, okay, so Madhouse did Deno Coil, Gonzo did Boku no Hero here. I got the exact same, like, animation vibes and character, like, all of that was exactly the same. And I'm kind of coming away with similar thoughts and mindset of both those shows. Do you feel the same? Or which, do you feel like one show is superior to the other, or kind of how I feel?
I think Deno Coil is superior because the characters are better written and they feel like middle schoolers.
Okay. You get where I'm coming
from. It's definitely
from this,
written.
Right?
Yeah, I know. And they have the same palette, they have kind of the same structure, character structure. The stakes are not as high in Deno Coil as they are in Boku no Hero, but
yeah, because even though I've given both shows the same score, I tend to agree with you that
Deno Coil
is a
little better written.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's better written. The characters are more believable. They behave like kids, which
and Tori
is
picked
like,
that
really
one too.
Hard to do.
Tori picked that show too.
Just to see, like, the director of Boku no Hero, like, he did storyboard for Anohana, for example.
Oh, that's
he did
the
storyboard
that's the
for Monster.
Yeah, that's the Working at the Spa anime, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Isn't that what Anohana is? Or am I thinking of something
it's
else?
It's the one with the little kid ghost. She died on the river.
Okay, ghost. I Oh, that one. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did storyboard for Monster.
What the fuck anime did I think of there?
He did storyboard for Usagi Drop. And he was like, I don't like I don't but
that's
you can
that's
see,
one
like,
where it's don't read the manga.
Or part of the manga. But he did storyboard for Knight of Sidonia.
Okay.
So you can see like
there's a lot of similarities.
Even Knight of Sidonia 2000. It's similar like the similarities to the second part of Boku no Hero, where he was like, I'm not gonna follow the manga. The manga we already passed the manga. This is an original story. I'm going to dictate where this is going. And you see, like, the other anime he was involved with doing the storyboard.
Yep.
And they're all kind of, like, he did the storyboard for Koikaze. Let's see. More storyboard here. He did the storyboard for some One Piece as well.
Well, all right. 5 and a 6. Our next episode is your pick, Hickey. And it's over.
Yeah. I don't remember. It's been so long.
Genshiken.
Oh, Genshiken. Let's go. Finally.
I'm actually excited to rewatch that. I haven't seen it in probably like 7 years or something. So.
Same. I've read the manga as well. The manga is so good.
Yeah. I'm pretty pumped to review that in our next episode. This was good. See you next time.
Peace.